This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
With us today is our guest, already in the car. I picked him up before I picked up Karen. Sometimes we mix it up. Matt Ingebretson.
Hey!
Woo!
That's Matt.
Look at him. I mean, listen to him.
Listen to his voice.
Hey,
go,
guys.
Matt.
It's me, Matt Ingebretson.
You can tell just from that smooth jazz voice that he's taller than me.
Very tall.
You can tell just by your voice.
Taller than most.
We were just talking about how Karen went to Yale.
Yeah.
Karen, tell us about your sorority in Yale.
God, guys, I was an alpha phi all the way. And
Alpha.
I was an alfalfa. I just fed some goats all through college for a living. That's how I put myself through college. Some girls strip. I was more into a kind of animal husbandry situation.
The fraternity I went to, we roasted our own coffee beans. We were called Kappa Cappuccino.
Boo!
Fuck you. Boo! How dare you pull out that year three open mic bullshit. This is a fucking podcast,
this is a
Chris.
Professional year it's, 10 podcast.
Will you give me a ride, please, Daddy?
Working title. We're still working on the title. That's a joke from like fifth grade, just so you know.
What fraternity did you attend?
Yes.
Go to.
You seem like a Fiji boy.
I was a Fiji boy.
Fiji water?
Fiji water.
I don't remember. They're call letters, but Fiji's one.
Fiji's good.
And I pledged every year. Never got in. But, you know, lived in the backyard in a tent. And real nice time.
You were just in it for the beatings, kind of?
Princeton. Yeah. I loved getting beaten up. That's the only way I can come.
Well, that's perfect. Then fraternity life is perfect for you.
Now, what is this podcast? Now, explain this to me.
I guess.
And I asked Chris earlier, and I want to ask you, Karen, do you regret starting the podcast where you have to do legitimate work?
I'll answer for Karen on this, yes.
And I'll answer for Chris, 100% yes. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
See,
it is a great idea for a podcast, but I'm just like, you've basically given yourself chores to do every time you do this fucking
and
thing.
Scheduling, there's a almost borderline mathematical scheduling situation that yeah. I, as a flighty, barely together adult,
uh-huh.
can't handle.
Right.
Chris handles a lot,
that
and
actually,
I know it's unnatural for him.
That really surprises me that Chris is the one handling the scheduling.
And a lot of people might be offended by that, but you are so right.
Yeah. It's reverse sexism, and I
so
support
right.
it.
You are so...
It's hard.
It's hard for me to... I anguish over things, and I was really nervous about showing up early. So instead, I sat there in silence and left at a point where I knew I'd be late, and I had to make... So instead of picking up Matt at home, which is the mission statement of our podcast,
right.
I had him meet us.
I drove to a place that I didn't need to go to get picked up and taken to a place that I could have driven to myself.
You know why? Because we want the guests to work as hard as we are working. That is an absolute necessity for us.
Empathy is part of our podcast. You need to feel it for us.
You've got
to
feel
I mean, I definitely feel sorry for you guys.
Right.
Absolutely,
you.
I do.
That's sympathy. Just definition-wise.
Just to be clear.
And sympathy. Yeah. We don't want you to feel sorry for us.
I'm
just
sorry for how your lives have gone.
Thank you.
To get us to this
we
point.
We want you to feel our pain, but not our sorrow. And so we provide it. I appreciate you driving.
I was, you know what's funny?
Can I get a ride home after this, Matt?
What's funny is I was surprised. Chris said, oh, Matt Ingebretson and I are on the same show tonight. Maybe I'll ask him to do it. And
you
I was
were
like,
surprised that I was on a show with him?
Yeah, that you qualified.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
But then I said, yes, please do. And so quickly after that, he came back and was like, Matt can do it. And then I was like, oh, he doesn't know what he's agreeing to right now, clearly, because he was such a quick yes that you probably thought, like, there'll be a studio, I'll show up, I'll leave, I'll get a bottle of water.
Yes.
I was like, these are two people I like. Why would they betray me? Why would they mislead me and trick me into doing something
and
like this?
And this is what we're going to get into on this podcast. Why? The why
do we,
of it.
Why do we constantly trick people?
Why do we want to hurt everybody?
I'm sorry that I did that. I should have stopped.
Because of this guy?
I mean, that's the other thing about this
our
podcast.
Our well-being.
Is this is dangerous.
We could
yes, it
killing.
Is.
We have not killed anyone yet, right?
Not yet.
I don't recall.
Not yet. Not we haven't.
Right.
Right.
People have died after we've dropped them off in their homes. But we have
nothing to do with that.
Yeah, your home security is not our problem.
Yeah.
What a tragedy if you guys were to take this car and kill us all. Two up-and-coming podcasters and one fully established. I'm kidding.
but imagine if we, and we have said this before, if we do crash this car and kill, you know, at least a couple of us.
Right.
Imagine how that will shoot up the iTunes podcast chart.
You will get some ratings.
Yeah. We will beat Harmontown.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
He's the one to beat.
He's the one to beat. The one to watch.
Or that Kevin Smith one. I'm sure that's fun.
Is that a good one?
Every time you go to the improv, and there's a bunch of people in cargo shirts and a hockey jersey.
They
go there dressed like Kevin Smith.
Oh.
Those advertisements that they play before shows at the improv are just really suck the energy out of the room.
Yeah. Maybe. It's almost like a threat.
But I love performing at the improv, and
Me
they
too.
Do a great job over there.
And God, they're nice.
This episode is dedicated to Jamie Flam.
Hey, Jamie.
Thanks for booking us.
High five, Jamie. Oh, we're doing a, should I just drop this bomb now or save it to the end? We're doing a show with April Richardson at the Improv this coming Wednesday, April 13th.
Am I on that show?
You are on it.
Oh, God, I got to check my schedule.
You agreed to it. You're on the
Chris flyer
and everything.
Okay, well, I'll be there.
And
Chris,
we have special surprise guests if you want to be the surprise guest, Matt.
Done.
You keep saying yes fast. I don't. You won't learn the lesson.
Here's the
catch. I'll meet you in Santa Monica, and then you can drive me to the improv.
And then when you get there, you're going to have dental work with no anesthesia. Which is what you agreed to. That's the show.
Matt runs a very fun show himself, which wasn't Good Heroine rated the number one show in L.A.
It was the best new show in L.A.
Is that true?
L.A. Weekly.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It is a great show.
I appreciate
it. It's really
that.
Fun. It has you don't know it's going to be a show. It's in a bookstore. It's behind a bookstore.
That's right.
It's outdoor. On paper, that wouldn't make me say, hey,
on paper.
Outdoor. But then same
similar
with
to this podcast, all bad ideas
yes.
on paper.
Yes, right. And then somehow all the negatives make a positive.
That's right.
Yeah, everything comes together.
I find that the audience members at Matt's show and Dave's show, right, is Dave Ross
that's
the
right,
co-producer?
Yes.
This is something I never.
You're fine. Keep going straight.
Okay. Oh, that guy knew and he
honked. Yeah,
he knew. That's the most confusing intersection.
Yes.
I hate it.
It's very terrible because you turn and then there's a red light.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to go anyway.
I was scared.
Yes.
It was upsetting.
I promise I'm not going to kill us.
I was just going to say that every time I've done Good Heroine, the audience members, and you can see every single one of them because it's a fully lit patio.
It's too lit, yes.
It's very lit. But they have their beaming smiles on their faces.
Yes.
Every time.
How do you do that? Do you actually, is that why it's called that? You give them heroin?
We give them heroin.
And it's good?
It's good. Good.
Stuff, yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, what I've started doing when I host is literally yelling at them to have a good time up top. And I'll be like, listen, you jaded LA fucks. Like, it's Saturday goddamn night. Have a good time and laugh out loud.
Yes.
And it, honestly, it has made a huge difference.
Really?
Yes.
It works.
I know you to be a nice person, but one time it was raining and the show was indoors, and there was a couple came in to have coffee, and you just, you're like, oh, well, look at these two leather jacket assholes. Look at the big, like a couple, and they were just kind of like, we don't,
that was,
he's a kid, I guess he's kidding.
That was,
maybe we should go. Maybe
when the show's inside, it's worse, and I'll get defensive when it's not going well and lash out at people.
Oh, God, that was the best.
That's how I do all comedy, no matter if rain or shine.
My face was red. I was actually, it was making me really uncomfortable, but I was laughing so hard because I knew you were kidding, but I wasn't sure they knew, and then the audience wasn't sure either. It was just really fun. Yeah.
The best.
So the last time I did a show, I got an email that day from someone that I did some wine show, and it was nice people, West Side money people. And I got a lot of emails like, where are you performing next? I'll bring a group of laughers. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm dealing with real civilians. And then, but then this woman said, I promise I'm not stalking you. And then something about leaving my body by a dumpster. Mm. But I was like, oh, she's making a dumb joke. And I told her about good heroin.
Uh-huh. Sorry, real quick, check this shit out.
Look at that.
Yes,
guy.
There's a man standing on his bike, riding his bike.
Surfing.
How is he standing on a BMX bike, riding it standing?
And I, you know, when I was a kid, I used to be able to do that. But I don't want to take away from what he's doing. I never did it in traffic.
But what he did is nothing, and what I did was everything.
I did it in a cul-de-sac. It was, I had a little more style. I didn't wave my arms around like I was swatting at peas.
He seemed a little methy.
Yeah.
I mean, although you might have just been excited.
I really thought you said methody. He seems a little methody with his ways.
He's Meisner.
Yeah, he watched some Laird Hamilton videos before. Anyway.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's quite all right. A man was surfing on a BMX bike.
That was crazy.
None of you will ever be able to see it.
Or believe it.
Yeah.
Really.
We made it up.
Before this show, I had to go to the bathroom, and the crowd back there, it's packed, and it's uncomfortable when you walk through the audience to use the restroom, and then they watch you go into the bathroom.
Yes.
I like my audiences to not know I poop or pee.
That's
good,
right.
Yeah.
I want them to think I ate the exact amount of food that I just use it all as energy.
Because that's what happens. If you eat the correct amount of food, you never poop or
pee. You absorb it back into your system. Yeah. That's horrifying.
I juice. I'm off gluten. I haven't pissed or pooped. And I think it's healthy. And then I faint.
That's why your skin is that color.
Yeah. The color of the blood coming out of my eyes. So I peed. There's two dumpsters. There's a gap, human-sized gap between them. And in front of me, several other dumpsters. So I was guarded from anyone seeing me peeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then this woman, young girl, who's kind of attractive, was like, she goes, I can see you. Oh, you look real hip with your forced mustache and your hipster jacket. Like, just started roasting me. And
I was peeing.
And I'm like, I'm peeing my wieners out. And I looked at her, and I was like, kind of laughed, because I thought, well, clearly I must know this person. But I did not recognize her face. And then she said, I'm not a narc. And I'm like, well, that's a subject change. And then she went, and there is audience behind the place, and she yelled at them, I'm not a narc. And everyone's like, weird. And she said, that guy's a cop. And I'm like, is that a mustache joke?
And this sounds like some intense improv that she
went,
was bringing.
Yeah, she went in and told Dave Ross that I had exposed myself to her. And then I said, that girl's mentally ill. I said that out loud.
Good.
Just guessing.
Sure.
And then finally, I was scared. I thought it was the girl that emailed. I thought that maybe she was going to pull out a little feminine pistol and shoot me. Strapped to her garter belt. And,
that's what you do?
I left for a while because I'm kind of weird. And then Dave said, oh, we had to kick her out. Don't worry. The coast is clear. Mm. And then the owner of the place said, oh, she steals. She just got out of some kind of lockup, either jail or an asylum of sorts.
Mm.
She's like steals from that neighborhood, like He said, "Here, look at her Facebook. She's real nuts." And the first thing on the Facebook was a picture of me right after I had peed, and it just said, "This man." And then I looked at the other post, and it's just her in her bedroom yelling, like, "Get out of here, Peter! Get out! I know you're behind the door!" Multiple Aww. Videos, and only her commenting on them 100 times.
Oh, no.
And calling everyone a narc, calling everyone gay.
Some of you may have thought that this was going to be a fun story telling.
No. No,
just a real one.
All I know is that I feel bad for calling her mentally ill, because she really is. And we're coming up on stories right now.
Matt, what is your excuse for this happening to Chris?
Yeah, why did you set me up like that?
Well, you know, when I knew Chris was on the show, and then I knew he was going to drink too much water before. I knew he was going to drink an inappropriate amount of water before I came. I was like, I'm going to set
him up. Past absorption point.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I do actually still pee.
Yeah.
Even though I try and measure it.
I felt really bad, actually, and I didn't know what to do about it. And well, There was a moment where I was like, "Chris, did you expose yourself to someone?"
No, that's what Dave and Emily Heller, they both thought I'd really done it. And then I got defensive, and I'm like, "I'm upset that you guys think that I would expose myself to someone." That she didn't see me. No one did.
No, also, it's just a harsh reality that if you pee in public, you might get arrested.
Yeah, it is a harsh reality.
Or you might be the opposite of arrested, accused of being a narc.
And that might be the... Is that no? There is a flyer that Dave Ross took a picture of it with her face, and it says, "This woman steals. Notify police if she is in your store."
Oh, wow!
And he took a picture of that, and I'm like, "See, I knew it. she's a kleptomaniac."
That man's picking up garbage with a pincher.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
It's Echo Park, baby. Wow. Get used to it.
That's his...
Burbank isn't like this at all.
It's his version of a metal detector. If I was at the beach, I'd probably...
Maybe this is worth some money.
Chris and I were talking about how this girl who was crazy, we initially didn't think she was crazy because she was pretty.
She's pretty.
Which was a weird little stereotyping.
Yes,
sure.
That's I don't know what that is.
Well, human beings are just stupid, and if someone is pretty, you just trust them and think that they're
100%.
Good.
100%.
I assume that if someone's attractive, and she was, let's reiterate, I mean, she was a knockout.
Chris was so sexually attracted to her that he exposed himself
to
her.
Yeah.
And then peed out of excitement, like a little dog.
My tail started wagging. And she was pretty, but had just like her hair was disheveled and there was like a leaf in it. But
that's a look.
She was pretty.
She was just back from Coachella.
I think we all just assume if someone, man or woman, is good looking, they've had a life to where they didn't need to resort to being crazy.
Yes.
Like it's a choice or something.
That's right.
So us thinking, oh, she's pretty, she's not crazy, is sexist. It is. It is insensitive to mental illness.
But everybody does it because women do the same thing with good-looking men, where you kind of, like, you trust them and you give them the best. I find also, and I don't know if you found this, Matt, tall men get the benefit of the doubt a lot.
It is a huge advantage being a tall man.
Yeah, what's it like being tall? I mean, you've bragged about it on stage as if people aren't seeing that you're also tall.
And it's funny, I joke about it being the best, but truly it's like just an implicit advantage in my life that I had no control over, and it helps me in every way, just very subtle ways that nobody is aware of, really.
Intimidating people at the DMV or something, people don't say, "Hey, you cut in line," things like that,
right?
Yeah,
they just accept me for who I am, which is a tall, superior being to them.
Right.
There is something to that. I mean, or like, you know, Chris, how tall are you?
I was 5'9 at one point.
I am
going on 5'8. I'm already shrinking.
You're shrinking.
I think I'm less than 5'8.
It is tough being a short man, though.
It is. I mean,
you're not at the point where it's like actually tough, though.
No.
I'm not.
Regular. 5 is like tough.
I'm not Eddie De La Seppi. He's a friend of ours. It's shorter. I digitally, I can just tell when I walk in a room how tall someone is. It's just in the corner of my vision. Digitally.
You're a robot.
Yes. I find
I'm like Terminator, but just
For height.
Yes.
I find as a person who is often hired for jobs where I'm supposed to be in charge of people, no matter who I'm working with, if there's a certain kind of person that cannot listen to me, but absolutely will listen to the tallest man in the room.
Yeah.
And that's how I got that theory going, was because noticing that, where it will literally be an intern, an unpaid person who is still in college.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And there have been famous comedians that would be heartbreaking for me to tell you who they are, who turn and go, "So Josh, what are we doing?" And I'm wow. "Hey, motherfucker, eyes over here," but I don't say
oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
I
that's
just let
amazing.
Them do it.
Well, it just speaks to how stupid human beings are.
Yes,
where it's just
exactly.
like the big ones know better.
Yes.
We do that with animals too. It's like, why do we value like elephants over like a mouse? It's because they're how big they are.
Well, yeah, because you could kill a mouse with your foot.
Yeah.
And not so with
but
elephants.
You can't kill a tall man.
No, you cannot. Not even with a gun, right, Matt?
No, no.
That's right.
He's invincible.
Feel free to try it.
I think I could probably.
Day or night.
See if I can kill you with my driving.
I like this neighborhood.
It is nice. That's why I went up this hill.
It's really. And
look,
April and I went and.
Homie farmhouse.
I know. We
homie,
we wrote at this cafe, which at first I was like, I hate it here. I hate everyone mm-hmm. in this place, because mm-hmm. there was a lot of like women dressed like Liz Taylor in the 70s.
Yes.
And men who clearly ride motorcycles
right.
purely for the look.
Yes.
But it actually was a great place to work, and we got a ton of stuff done
yeah.
at the Fix here.
I want to live over here. I live at the beach, and it's so inconvenient.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, you gotta come over here.
I like the ocean. It's therapeutic.
I like the ocean.
I wade in the water. I extend.
Do you go for walks on the beach?
I go for long ones.
Do you?
Yeah.
I went for a long walk today.
Where?
I live over in Los Feliz, right around the corner from the Vista, and there's this huge staircase next to me, and I walked up it. I had actually a really fucking cliche. I listened to Fleet Foxes while I was walking up.
Oh, clapping and harmonizing.
Oh, I was harmonizing. I was having just the sweetest little day.
About foxes wearing scarves.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you find the answer in the forest?
Yeah, of course I did.
Sure.
I'm a tall man. Everything works out for me.
You can see the farthest on the Serengeti.
Both my grandfathers were well above 6 feet tall. Uh-huh. All my cousins are above 6 feet tall, Navy pilot.
You're a runt.
My dad and I both, yeah, were just little pugs from the litter with tiny feet and tiny wings.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Grandpa's? Is that why you got to whip it out all the time?
I just want people to see it.
Look how I was ripped off.
It's a perfectly average-sized penis, and I want people to know that.
You've never heard of a grower? Yeah, I'll never know why I'm not tall like
Chris, tell us about your relationship with your father. By the way, I'm the host of this podcast, giving a ride to my daddy.
That's what happens. The tallest man gets to take over the podcast.
That's right.
We are very close. We're very similar. I can tell him anything. He's very supportive.
He's very funny.
And I think that I've always had his support, and I think it's made me lazy, and I kind of wish he was abusive, because then that motivates people to become very famous. But
mm-hmm.
my dad's always believed in me, so I slept until noon today.
See, I had that I had that nice combination of a father who was just withholding enough to make me want his.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
But a mother who told me I could do anything I ever wanted to.
Right.
Or if I could achieve anything.
It's got to be a perfect balance. And just a little bit too much of something can just backfire, and you got yourself a kid who's up on a tower with a rifle.
Karen, what about you?
I had a father who was over 6 feet tall, 6 foot four, I think.
Wow.
Right?
Salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth, a fireman.
Uh-huh.
Wow. A man who took care of business, a man who didn't let people sass, especially young men.
Uh-huh.
I watched him one time. We went to a state basketball championship,
yeah.
and there was a teenage boy, he was yelling, like screaming at his girlfriend and pointing in her face.
Uh-huh.
And my dad went over and said, "Get the fuck out of here." You know, I don't think he said the F word, but he said, "Get out of here."
Yeah.
And the kid walked away. And then later on, inside the basketball game, my dad and our next door neighbor were walking by, and the kid was in the crowd, like the second row up.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, "Hey, fuck you, Baldy," or something like that.
Yeah.
And my dad reached back without looking and picked him up by the collar and yanked him outside and then kicked him in the ass. And
kicked his butt, like literally
just kicked him in the ass. And then he like started crying and left.
He started crying? How old was he?
He's like a high school kid.
I love
this. This was before you could sue anybody all the time for any reason. So I saw him do a lot of things like that.
I wish I had a little more of that in me. Because I think this is actually a disadvantage that being tall has, or just maybe me specifically, is I am a coward. And I will not stand up for myself. Now, the thing is, I'm so tall that I never do have to stand up for myself.
Right. People pick fights with me because I'm little.
Sure. That's right. But I've never been in a fight. I've been punched.
Oh. Where? In the face?
Fifth grade.
Oh.
I cut in line in PE class. We were doing layups, and a bully, just some poor kid who dropped out of high school later.
Yeah.
Kind of stocky, redhead.
That's freckles. Exactly
right. We got
right.
him pictured.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that is so spot on.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't get to the back of the line, I'm going to punch you in the face. And I said, no, you won't. And then he punched me in the face five
that's
times.
That's so funny.
That's a beatdown.
I've had the same thing happen where I'm like, you're not going to do anything. And then my nose was broken. It's like, oh, I misjudged you.
I don't envy that about boys, is you truly have to deal with physical confrontation.
That's right.
In a way, oh, girls, we're just mental. We'll just fuck you up for years and years, kind of in the soul level.
My dad isn't afraid of a fight either, and one time we were at a drive-in, and I was sick, and I was phlegmy, and I spit out. We were parked watching a movie, and I spit out the window. And my dad had set up some lawn chairs, and I guess I inadvertently, my loogie landed on one of these chairs.
Your loogie?
Then my dad went to pick up the chairs at the end of the movie, and his hand ended up in the spit. And he just went to the truck next to us, which was these two young kids. He's like, you spit on my chair. He got in this kid's face, and I was like, Dad, that may have been me. I think that was me. So I embarrassed my father. It was horrifying.
Wow.
It was my, I spit. I spat.
You did it.
I believe we were watching the X-Files movie.
But I have to say, it's a very attractive thing when someone will just fucking throw down. It's very exciting. I wouldn't do it. But, it's a hard thing to do.
No, it's every woman loves a good scuffle, right? Am I right?
We really do.
And if you're pretty, you ain't crazy. This is Chris, and it's 1955. Every dame needs a strong, hairy man with a nice, clean mustache and a white T-shirt and kind of a fleshy body, but a good body for 1955.
You know, like maybe does a couple push-ups, but nothing crazy.
You know, a leading man's body.
Yes. Leading over to the deli.
leading a large group of people to the deli.
Has anyone in this car ever been to the Thirsty Crow?
I have.
I hate it.
It's not a good bar. It would be a great bar if there were only three people there.
Yes, exactly. If you went in and there was no one in there, you'd be like, I found a wonderful fantasy land.
Bar. Yes.
But it's just chock full of people cosplaying I Live in Silver Lake.
Oh, no.
The last time I went there, I went in, I ordered a drink. I did not get the drink for 25 minutes, and then I just walked out.
Yeah.
And that was bad of me to do, but
I do not like the
Why?
Name Thirsty Crow.
Well, because I ordered the drink. I don't know. Was it bad?
No, they just drank it.
Thanks.
God. I mean, seriously, you're off the hook 100% on that.
Thank you, Karen.
Come on, how about customer service?
Oh, it's weighing on me.
Karen, you're not much of a boozer. What are you, or at all? What were you doing in Thirsty Crow?
Not drinking and being mad about it.
See, that's I wouldn't like any bar if I didn't drink.
But also,
all of a sudden, it's crowded and you're surrounded by drunk people.
The
no,
worst.
No, thank
that,
you.
And also, I've passed the point age-wise where anything like that is charming to me. Like, I did all that. I think if I was in my early 30s, that would all be very exciting. And I'd be like, I wish the guy with the suspenders was talking to me. But I don't give a shit anymore. So it all looks even 10 times stupider than it actually is.
Yeah, it's like, why are you all dressed up like this?
Yeah. It looks like Super Spirit Week in high school to me.
Yeah.
So is the Thirsty Crow one of those places where the bartenders look like Stalin?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
Their hair parted over.
It's borderline Nazi youth.
It's Germany 1942 inside that
and
bar.
And hey, I know I kind of have that look about
you
myself.
You absolutely
yes,
do.
Yes, I am. Because hello, pot, this is kettle. You're black as the dickens.
Now, Chris, man second demand here.
Uh-huh. I'll step out.
How often?
Plug your ear.
We just
Karen, hear, earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
We just hear Karen open the door and scream. And she rolls out the side of the car.
Man to man here. Kevin, unlock. Kevin.
Chris.
I forgot her name.
How often do you get your hair cut?
Do you mind if I call you Kevin?
No, that's fine. That's my boy name.
That's a good question. I was someone that used to just shave my head and then grow it out. And in the middle stage, before the afro came, I would just wear hats and not let oxygen touch my scalp and have bad dandruff. So I would either have a shaved head or a fro, and then I'd just start over. But I'd started getting haircuts and putting pomade in and everything.
You're talking about putting product in your hair.
Product in my hair. Yes. Three to 4 to 5 years ago. And I don't wear as many hats anymore, and I think I like it. But because of my coarse pubic-like hair, I do have to get haircuts every month.
Once a month. That seems about right. If you're trying to keep a style, you got to go about monthly.
Yep, yep. And I go short on the sides now, very high and tight, very Vanilla Ice.
It's a good look.
thanks. Thank you.
But Matt, once a month. Matt, have you ever had long hair?
I did. When I was in ninth grade, I grew my hair out to my shoulders.
I think I've seen...
And it was a bad look for me.
Was it?
But I loved it. It was like my rebellious stage. And it was against school dress code. Oh. And so I was constantly like being harassed by the vice principals to cut it and getting detention.
Yes.
You went to a private school?
No, I went to a public school. But in Southeast Texas. And so there was like strict dress code.
Mm.
And
I'm going to Tyler, Texas to do stand-up. From near there? That's north. I'm northeast. Never mind. It's by Dallas.
Okay.
You know, Texas is kind of big.
Texas is one of the biggest, if not the third or fourth biggest.
There are many bigger states than Texas, but it's up there.
How many?
California and Alaska.
Oh.
Texas is third. Montana is fourth.
Is that true?
No, it's less than a million people. Five.
This is
coming in strong. We have Nevada.
This has been How Big Are the States? Chris Fairbanks.
This podcast.
And Kevin Kilgariff. Kilgarfer.
There are two Kevin Kilgariffs, everybody, just so you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there another Karen Kilgariff?
Yes, my cousin John married a Karen Kilgariff, which was I was very mad for a couple years.
What a coincidence.
Now I realize we'll all be dead soon and nothing matters.
I got a weird one of those, too, where my mom married Mark Ingebretson. And her sister married Roger Ingebretson, spelled differently, different family.
You're kidding.
No. And in a town of 500 people. There's just more Ingebretsons up in Iowa and Minnesota.
It's a name that when I first met you, I'd avoid saying it because I thought I'd fuck it up. Your last
and
name.
And I noticed that. I noticed that you did that.
Yeah.
He's very angry.
It sounds like two names that you were mashing together of a relationship in People magazine.
I should have changed it.
Like Ingrid and Brett.
Oh,
Ingrid Bergman. Matt Ingrid.
We saw Ingebretson. That's... I can't remember what I said up there.
You don't have to.
I like to walk through that park just because I like new experiences.
I love that you call it a park.
Yeah.
It is a park.
That group of homeless people that are laying on bricks.
Just dogpiling each other.
It's scary. And they're very vocal, and it's an aggressive little park.
Do you ever go to Barnsdall Park? This one we're passing to the left?
Oh, yeah. That one's nice.
No, that's nice. Ooh, that seems like a good place to hide some crime.
That's where you hide your crimes.
Oh, wow. That looks horrifying.
No. Up above it, there's like a plateau and grass.
Oh, it's raining CDs.
Now we just learned that Chris Fairbanks still plays music off of CDs.
So many that they're falling out of his visor.
I know that CDs are obsolete, and I hand mine out and say they're drink coasters.
Out the window?
No, that show's concert. I do comedy for a living.
Oh, you do? Oh. How's it going?
I just picked it up. It's great. It's so easy. It's so easy.
It's
I took a class.
So easy.
All you do is write down some ideas.
Yeah.
And then you grab the mic stand and put it to your side, and people laugh, and at the end you sell CDs, and you fly places. Usually the flight is covered.
Yeah.
Usually you get your check right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's real fun. It's a great living. It's a great living.
That sounds good.
And it's consistent. That's what I like about it. The consistency.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It's like once you peak, you stay there.
Oh, yeah.
It's so awesome.
That's what I like about comedy for a living is it's the staying power
yeah.
of it.
There's hey, a real...
If you're doing okay and you do Conan 1 minute, and then as you leave Conan, you get in a car wreck and you lay in bed 4 months, don't worry. Your career will still be there
It'll,
waiting.
Hollywood will wait for you.
Yeah. Did that happen to you, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. And oh. I had a rough year. I mean, you can't pull a Brian Wilson. I'm not... You can't just lay in bed.
Chris, we don't talk enough. You need to have me on your podcast more often so we can catch up.
Well, I would have, but I knew you had animosity towards the whole theme of it.
You know what, though? If you guys start a podcast called Catch Ups, you could do this once a week.
And talk about condiments.
And leave me out of it. Would be the best part.
No Kevin's allowed.
They're just man to man, sans Kevin's. But yeah, it was the very first time Karen and I recorded, I was so nervous to be a passenger in a car because her car is the same make and model of the car. I was in a wreck because we just got rear-ended. It's just one of those things where I had such a great night. And my whole life, when things are really good or something great happens, I've trained myself to just be like, okay, something terrible has to happen now.
Sure.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's the balance of life.
Yes.
And, that was a great example of that. I was like riding on a cloud, and then all of a sudden...
Boom.
Well, and it's because you're under 6 feet tall.
It is. The guy would have seen...
Have you ever been rear-ended, Matt?
Nothing bad.
No, because his head goes out of a holy cart in the roof of his car.
I have been rear-ended.
It's the worst.
It sucks.
It's but you know what's worse? Rear-ending someone.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that three times.
Because you know it's your fault.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Have you ever been rear-ended lightly and let the person off the hook?
I have been T-boned lightly.
Okay.
And let the person off the hook because I had been in so many car accidents that were my fault. I knew what a gift it would be.
Oh, yeah.
The guy backed out of his driveway really fast, and I was driving maybe a tiny bit too fast. This was in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And he just bounced off the side of my car, and we were both kind of in shock. But it was totally his fault. And I was like, look, this is an old car. That's a tiny dent, and I don't care. And he was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, have a great day.
Oh,
like, I did a kind of a pay it forward.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yeah.
I've done that for somebody.
Every time, and it's only been a couple times. One time I rear-ended someone at a light. I was looking down at my printed out MapQuest map. Yes.
So,
and I bumped
97?
Yeah, it was
roughly.
I'm late to technology. It was last year.
Oh, okay.
And another time, someone tapped me, and then, of course, this big one where we got all bruised, but every time it was an uninsured person. Yeah. And so that's the first thing they say is like, ugh, can we just handle this now? I'm uninsured. And for some reason, I don't want to go, no, fuck you, man.
Yeah, because it's such a bad position. Has it happened to you?
Somebody who hit me who's uninsured. Actually,
or
no.
Any of those.
I've been hit. No, I've been hit a number of times, and I've let somebody off the hook once. The first time I got hit in L.A., I got rear-ended, but it was very light, but I followed through with getting the money,
mm-hmm.
and then I used the money to buy a video camera to film some of my comedy sketches.
Yes.
So no regrets is what you're saying.
No regrets.
And you can do that. That's not illegal. It's just...
It's not.
It's supposed to be, it's between you and your God.
That's right. But then I've made up for it by letting a couple people who have lightly rear-ended me off the hook.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
At a car wash, this is the fourth time, I forgot it. They were drying off my car, and some lady in a Prius it was like she was running away from the law. She just backed into my car and then was going to leave, and the car wash guys were like, hey, you just hit a car. And she got out, and she's like, no, I didn't. And I saw it happen.
Was she in a BMW? Yeah.
No, she was in a Prius.
Oh, sorry,
which I'm
you said
starting
that.
To hate even more than BMW. The Prius drivers, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but there's a sense of obligation that makes them drive like BMW people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're silently.
It's the silentness.
I wonder if the environmental benefits have exceeded the fact that the Priuses are silently just running over pedestrians every single day. Yeah, but the ozone.
That's actually helping the environment even more.
Exactly.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
We are overpopulated severely.
That's actually the way the Priuses are helping the environment is by
killing
people
silently.
That's why they made them. The fact that they made a car
Yes.
Dead quiet.
Yes.
Is clearly that's their hidden agenda.
Oh, that's so funny.
I love that conspiracy theory.
It's we got to spread that around.
Yeah. I'm gonna like a rumor.
like rumor Willis, spread it around.
But this woman was so being defiant about. Clearly, she's like, no, I didn't. It's like we all just saw you. And finally, she said, fine, come to my house, and my husband will write a check. And I went, and I got a quote for the bumper, and I took the lowest one. And I said, here, I'll probably get it painted, so you don't have to. I just made up a number, but here's what it costs for me to replace my bumper. Mm. She wrote me a check, and yeah, I paid rent with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you guys have
what's
a
happening?
Dream car?
That I would... See, my cars, I'm like a 15-year-old with posters on his wall when it comes to cars.
Sure.
I sort of like that BMW sports car that has blue all over it and looks like an exotic.
You do sound like a 15-year-old.
I know.
Right now.
I like it, and I want there to be Kathy Ireland in a bikini laying on the hood. no, I think I'm a big fan of Honda Accords. I think I'll get another Honda Accord.
Yeah.
In my reality and my dreams.
I have to say, there's that new BMW that looks like a little toy.
Yeah.
I actually don't
know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks like a car that you rub on the carpet to make it go.
Yes, okay. Like you pull it back three times and then it would go real fast.
Put a penny in the bumper.
I don't know why I like it. I think it's the BMW version of a Prius.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so dumb looking, and normally I would hate something like that, but...
That car looks like a used butt plug. Sorry. I don't know that makes sense, but I've said it before.
You're blue and white?
Yeah, and I've never interrupted someone with that. I'm sorry.
No, it was worth it. But actually, you know what I would... If it was a dream car situation, I would love to get my mother's Volvo that we had growing up that's probably like an 80...
Ooh, okay.
An 85 perfect rectangle... Oh. Volvo, it was really square.
Right.
Hers was goldish silverish with a tan interior.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
I
want to
change
mine.
It's the best. There's a lot of people driving it in silver.
I want like an early 80s Jeep Wagoneer with wood paneling.
Yes, that's
perfect and chrome and shiny. Yeah.
Is that what your parents have?
What's that?
Sorry, did your parents have it?
No.
They're just pretty.
I love them.
Matt?
I want a car that my dad used to have, which is a Bronco. Although those are so unsafe, but there's something, whenever I see a Bronco, I'm like, I fucking want that thing.
Like OJ style?
Yeah. During
like
the chase,
where
you're like, God, I want that Bronco. Like, what did he do again?
He
what did the juice do? God, I like that Bronco.
What color did your dad have?
Red and white.
Yeah.
Real America style.
Yes.
Like, is this an old one? That's like a 70s one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like a, it's like, imagine a Bronco. Boom.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Now stop thinking.
Can I move on to something else?
Stop thinking.
That would be the best ad, Bronco :
stop
thinking. Stop
thinking.
That's the best. Yeah, I also, part of me, and this is kind of silly, but I really like the AMC Eagle, which is a wagon that is four-wheel drive.
Oh.
And this is coming from my snowboarding days, but I really always wanted to drive a vintage like GMC Eagle with big tires up, because not a big douchey 4x4 car, and it's also wood paneled. I think I just like wood paneled.
Kind of want like a truck now. I grew up in Texas and I spent so much time rejecting Texas,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm coming back around and I'm like, I want to wear cowboy hats and drive around in a stupid truck.
Did
you grow up in Texas? Sorry, Karen.
No, that's okay.
Comedy. I started comedy in Austin, yeah. But I love Texas.
I have the same thing, though, rejecting... I'm from a small town that was very farm-based,
yes.
and so when I moved to, like, San Francisco, I tried to pretend I was, like, from New York all my life.
Absolutely.
And recently, like, any time I see... Like, sometimes somebody will just be driving, like, a 70s Ford, like an all-white, you know, vintage Ford.
Yes.
And my mouth will, like, water. Like, it's that thing of, like, ooh, or some, you know, anybody that's got, like, a snap-button cowboy shirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally, like, 70s Petaluma.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me crazy.
Yeah, I think I like that, too. I like that look, too.
Yeah. It's very, like, it's very homey. Like, I realize...
From a distance. I don't want
to
know.
It's a sign of maturity, right? To, like, because you spend your whole life being, like, fuck my mom and dad and where I grew up.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yep.
And then, like, when you're finally, like, No, there was some good things about that. That's like good, right?
Yes. I think it's very good.
My whole life, I was born in California and then we moved, and my whole life my parents kind of apologized that we didn't live by the beach, but we were in a part of Montana that's so beautiful. It's just what was once a glacial lake, just a city surrounded by mountains.
Wow.
And there's bears and deer everywhere. It's beautiful. I go back now and I'm like, how could I ever have taken this for granted? And now I live at the beach and I'm like, well, look at this snooze fest. The ocean. It's just one flat water thing. Great.
Stupid.
Yeah, why?
Filled with salt.
I really pulled a 180.
Would you ever move back to Montana?
I sure would.
Yeah?
If it made sense for me to do what I'm doing for a living there.
If they opened a comedy school, you could go and be a professor?
See, even that just sounds so depressing. But yeah. I guess, yeah, ask me again in 10 years. I might want to be a professor of comedy at Missoula Comedy University.
Oh, I'll be dead in 10 years.
Oh, so will I. Who am I kidding? Probably ask cancer.
I mean, fingers crossed we'll all be dead in 10 years.
Yeah, let's just hope.
Let me ask you this. What age do you guys want to live to? When do you want to die?
I'm so scared of dying lately.
Are
that
you?
It's a new thing.
Because of the car accident?
It's just brushes with death and having it surround me on a daily basis.
Sure.
The hauntings at my current apartment. I think I want to live to be an old guy, to see if I can resist being like a grumpy, typical old man. I want to be.
There's no way that will happen.
Are you? Because I already am.
You're already a grumpy old man.
God damn it.
Well, you're half a grumpy old man, but then you're half like the funnest old man of all time.
Hey, hear that, Matt?
You could. Now you have to work at it, though, Chris, okay?
I've watched.
Christopher.
I've watched my.
And you're a bossy old man.
I am.
I've watched my dad as he gets older be more calm and cool and laid back. I think that's the direction I'll go.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that.
I bet.
I'll trust you.
Or I'll just be waving a stick and yelling at everybody. Just incontinent tube coming out of my urethra.
Like a Don Martin cartoon of an old man. Stick in the air.
Catheter.
Huge shoes.
I have to mention catheters every episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, sorry. We're medically obligated.
Do You Need a Ride is sponsored
brought to you by catheters.
Any
brand.
Reusable or new.
Throw them up there.
Toss them in the hole and forget about the weekend. Oh, no.
Now, Karen, when do you want to die? And I feel like I'm hosting this podcast.
No, I love it.
I love that you are.
I'm so tired. So tired.
We haven't asked one question of you.
I think, I don't want to get too dark, but my mom did die of Alzheimer's, so I don't want to go near that world at all.
My mom's currently dying of Alzheimer's. Karen and I, that's our genuine worry.
Sure.
And our original podcast.
Well, that is my worry, too, is I don't think I have Alzheimer's in my family, but just being stupid. Just getting to a point where it's like my brain doesn't work.
Yes, it's very frightening.
Because we all sense that, like, I'll forget something.
You called me Kevin.
John Cryer's name after I watch a movie or something, and I think, oh, this is it. My brain's shrinking. There's glowing orange spots if we did that scan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I worry about it all the time, but now that it's become such a real thing, I'm like, I'm going to go back to worrying about things that are kind of unreasonable or unrealistic. Like,
yes.
Like hang gliding accidents.
And bury this one deep down.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's real and it's scary. And Karen and I were going to have a mom podcast where people come on and talk about moms. And then we thought that might be sad.
Oh, it'd be real dark.
And then we were going to have a specific Alzheimer's one where we just talk about Alzheimer's, which would be even darker.
And so. I wanted to call that one Before I Forget.
Well, now you have to. You got to do at least a couple laps.
We'll do a sub podcast.
We do talk about it. But I think separate from that, I think I would say like early 80s. If all health things went well.
Yes.
Or, you know, a nice die in your sleep in your early 80s
that
sounds primo.
Nice.
Yeah. I agree. But, no, I look at my dad is coming on 75. Or God, I should know how old my dad is. He's mid-70s. And I don't think I want him to be gone in 5 years. I think he'll be pretty great at 85. That's the only reference.
Of course. Well, that's the reality. Dude, you get to that point and you're like, no, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah. And also these days, like, my sister is very up on all of the latest in Alzheimer's drugs. Yeah. And she's like, they are on the verge of curing it. Wow. So, like, if that's the kind of thing where every decade, things get so much more advanced, right, and it's going faster and faster. By the time we are in our 80s, life might be way better for people in their 80s.
Well, you know what's a bummer, though, is we won't see that until the end of our life. So when they create eternal life, we'll be old.
Yeah, but that's good. I don't want to live forever. That's Jesus true. Christ.
I don't want to relive anything. I don't want to go back to the fifth grade and say adult things to my teachers.
Papa Chris has made some mistakes in his life. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't need to relive.
But all Grandpa Chris wants is to just take a little swig of baby piss or whatever they're going to have. Stem cell, you just pop some cells.
And baby just,
yeah, I think, it has something to do with baby urine, right?
Yeah, I think I would just like to be, like, murdered when I'm 80.
Murdered how, specifically?
Just like while driving a Corvette, and then someone carjacks you.
A Corvette.
Because yeah. I would love to murder somebody, and I feel like we could work this out.
I would love that, honestly. When I'm 82,
okay,
kill me.
Great. Kill you with a gun while you're driving.
Yeah, something painless that I don't know. Don't let me know it's coming either.
Right, okay.
Just jam a handful of pills nonchalantly in my mouth.
What if I fix your brakes?
And then pat my throat. So
swallow. That's just fold it into some cheddar cheese, and you'll be fine. You'll love it.
Fold it into cheddar. That's how I want to get murdered.
Someone you know some what you pills just into ate. Some Belvita.
You're watching Jeopardy and drinking some white wine with some crackers and cheese, thinking everything's fine.
And another older woman comes in.
An insanely old woman.
Remember me? Not really. Yum!
Play the podcast back. You promised I could have this one last thing.
Well, I can't believe it's still on SoundCloud.
That website had some staying power.
Yes,
it lasts forever, you know.
Now it's SoundCloud.universe, because the internet has spanned to our other inhabiting planets. It is the future.
You have Alzheimer's and you need to go take your pills.
Are you the young man that used to work at the bakery? Sorry, that hits too hard. One time my grandma, who had also been touched
by... That hits too close, but just for you?
Yeah, it's close enough for me to tell this story. My grandma was like, I picked her up because it was Thanksgiving, and she goes, "Are you the boy that used to work at the bakery?" And I was like, "Oh shit!" I remember that was my first potholes. That was my first touch with people that have been touched.
Mine was when my mom came downstairs in a fleece jacket with no pants on, and she pulled a carton of milk out of the refrigerator and went, "Who drank all the milk?" And my sister and I started laughing out of tension because it was crazy. She would also often wear sunglasses on top of her head and on her face indoors.
So she had fun Alzheimer's.
She was fun for others.
My mom did a really fun thing where she got on a city bus holding a hammer, not wearing a shirt.
No. Yeah.
Well, you're in the middle of hanging some pictures, and then you realize you're out of nails. You get on the bus.
Just get on a bus.
All shirts aside, you go get those nails.
That's a fun call to get.
Oh,
I didn't. My sister got the call.
See, this is why we didn't do that podcast.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Because we're honestly having so much fun.
At the same time, the hardest I've laughed in quite a while.
I do like these Volvos too, as a car.
Too. Me too.
It's safety.
It's safe. Absolutely. It's sporty. And clearly the driver, though, wears Skechers and has a Dell computer and is not voting the way we're voting.
True.
That Volvos are very Republican.
We just passed Bridger Weiniger's house, by the way.
Really?
There's my Volvo.
This guy. Ooh, he was going to pass me on the left.
I went to the movies with Bridger.
I realized I didn't want to turn left over there. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, good call. Bridger and Scotty Landis.
Yes.
Bridger's boyfriend Jimmy, Scotty Landis, and I went to see.
I got wind of this.
Did you?
Yes.
Why didn't you come with us to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I hate you guys. If it's not a podcast, if it's not helping me professionally, I'm out.
I hear you.
I don't. Oh, I had already seen it. That's why I didn't go.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I thought it was
Is that John Goodman?
It's a little yes. Night Shyamalan-y towards the end, but it's like a fun little popcorn movie.
Sorry.
We were all sweating when it was over.
Oh, yeah.
We were laughing and sweating at how stressful it was. It was pretty great.
I last night watched a documentary about, this might be boring to everyone, but I was affected so emotionally that I can't stop thinking about it, but it's about the snowboarder.
Drive up that way.
Snowboarder kid that I've interviewed before. And
he
was beating Shaun White. No one ever beats Shaun White. Yeah. And he's just a sweet kid with a sweet family and a Down syndrome brother who's the sweetest, most high-functioning Down syndrome person I've ever seen in a documentary.
Yes.
And his parents are the best. And he fucking wrecked trying to learn some trick to beat Shaun White and landed right on his face. And, you know, his brain, he was in a coma for weeks. Fuck. And then he came out and luckily started being able to talk. And but you're watching this whole thing. He was on top. He was going to beat Shaun White. He was beating him in all these contests. Shaun White was getting pissy about it because they were friends, and then all of a sudden he had to relearn to walk, and this documentary shows all of it.
This has been,
and it is,
we're all gonna get Alzheimer's.
It is, yes, it is a bad brain injury, and he's being unreasonable. He's like, I want to go back to snowboarding. They're like, no, you can't, you'll die if you hit your head again. And then finally he came around and is, you know, speaks at schools about helmets and stuff. I don't know. It ends happy and content because
I watched,
not on this podcast.
Well, snowboarding only lasts, best case scenario, he would have won the Olympics, gotten money, and snowboarded another 4 years, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Once you're past your mid-20s, there's no retirement plan. It's,
I watched a documentary,
you know,
yesterday called Finders Keepers. Have you heard of this one?
No.
It's about a guy who got into an accident, plane wreck. They had to sever his, or they did, what is it called? Not sever, evacuate? What is the word I'm looking for? They had to cut off
amputate?
His leg. Amputate?
Oh, wow.
They had to evacuate?
All right, everybody out. That includes
everybody's
leg.
That one leg.
Right leg, get out of here.
A bouncer comes in.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Bye.
They amputated his right leg. He wanted to keep it, and he kept it.
Oh.
And then he put it into a storage unit inside of a grill.
Wait, in a giant bag or something?
In a grill. In a bag, in a grill. And then he stopped paying for the storage unit. So then one of those people who bid on storage units came and bought the storage unit.
On a reality show? Or no, that just...
No, this just happened.
Thing. Yeah.
And he bought it, and then he refused to give the leg back. And it's like, it's the funniest, it's a great documentary. Finders Keepers.
It's all true? It all happened.
Oh, yeah. And it is fantastic. And I cried during it, too. It's emotional.
Shit.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I like it.
That reminds me of an idea Tig had when... that she used to talk about, just a short film or maybe a mockumentary of a bunch of interviews talking about a person that's been through a lot, and then that person, it's like, you know, before I got my fake leg, I thought I'd never run again. I thought I was done doing marathons, and I've started running with my fake leg, and then just show footage of someone running, and they're just holding like a mannequin leg as they're jogging, and that's the payoff, I guess. And it would probably get a light chuckle, like in this car.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a full length film, that's for sure.
Imagine the build up being.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Taking about 20 minutes, then out of relief, you would just laugh so hard.
We should definitely talk before we go.
Yes.
Because Matt has a TV show coming.
Maybe
coming.
Yeah.
We are
chasing it.
Made
a pilot on Comedy Central.
Let me hear about it. I don't know about this.
I made a pilot for Comedy Central, and we just finished editing it. And now I'm having anxiety attacks daily, waiting to hear if they're going to make it into a TV show.
Do you want to talk about the name or details, or do you not want
to
talk about it?
Change the name is one thing we just learned.
Why?
Because it apparently, so it is or was named Corporate, and it's like a dark corporate satire that takes place in a corporation.
It's hilarious.
Thank you. And
can I see it? How do people see it? Or you've seen it?
I read the script.
Oh, you read the script.
I can show you.
Where can people read the script?
I'll email you.
I'd love to secretly get a copy without anyone knowing.
And yeah, we feel good about it, and hopefully they let us make 9 more of them.
When do you find out?
I think by the end of the month is what we've been told. So that's not terrible, because I think some people you can wait like months and months to.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm not surprised though. You're I would consider you a filmmaker person. I acted in a music video that.
That's right. You did.
Did you direct that?
I did not.
But you kind of did.
I facilitated it.
A lot of people. Concept. It's a lot of cook. You did a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
But it was fun.
He was all the cooks.
He was every cook in that kitchen.
And still spoiled it? That's weird.
No, it was so fun. I've always wanted to act in or be in an indie rock music
you were very
video.
Funny.
What band?
Very fun.
There's a guy named Michael Coomers. The band is called Lace Curtains. He used to be in a band called Harlem. It's actually really great music. It's kind of like garagey rock.
Yeah. I loved it.
You would love it, Kevin.
And then other, it's right up your alley, Kev. And then what was the last film? Oh, you were just acting in it. That the yard sale one.
Oh, the yard sale.
Yeah,
I've made a number of little things.
Yeah, they're just. I wish I owned a camera and was motivated.
Well, if you get rear-ended someday, you can.
Yeah, that's
use
right.
Insurance money.
Yeah.
To buy one.
Get your ass up back out there and risk it.
I think I'm gonna buy a fake leg if I need one. Karen, what do you got going on? I guess this is the time we usually wrap it up at about the one
is it
hour.
Plug time? Well, I've got a show coming up at the Improv Lab on April 13th at 10 p.m. And Chris Fairbanks is a headliner.
Oh, that's me.
Matt Ingebretson is our surprise drop-in guest.
Oh, wow.
Tickets are $8. We would love to see everybody there that's able to go because it's our first time doing it. It's called Business Class.
I like that name.
And that's all.
It might be a reoccurring show.
I think it's going to be a monthly show.
Terrific.
So we just get all the people we think are funny and put it on.
I love the Improv Lab. If I never do the main room again, it would be sad. I'd take it personally.
Yeah, but sad. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, again. I like the lab.
It's great.
And Matt, what do you got? You're waiting on
waiting on a pilot. You can come see me weekly at Good Heroine at Stories Books and Cafe.
It's great
in Echo
show.
Park.
Very fun.
Great show.
Some crazies hanging out there, but
that's
it's great.
Right. You will get accused of sexually assaulting someone.
Who doesn't love that?
Especially if your dick's out.
That's called the Anita Hill guarantee.
pubic hair coke. Never really did follow that story.
Oh, you can watch it when Kerry Washington stars as Anita Hill in the upcoming special.
Kerry Washington. I thought, saw her the other day.
Coming up.
April and I are starting up Almost Genius again tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's right. Your TV show.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Over on True TV, channel 347.
Yeah, channel deep cable.
Yeah.
No, I think I've seen True TV in hotel rooms.
True TV's doing it.
Yeah,
True
TV's.
They're making moves.
They're everywhere.
They're moving and shaking.
Yeah.
And you've been moving and shaking. It's always hard
to... This has been Moving and Shaking Down the Highway with Chris and Kevin.
You've been listening to Hey, Buddy.
And I'm Fat Bartlebertson.
Here with Kevin. Kevin Shot the Sheriff. And Chris Hare, thanks. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N-A-R.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Parachute is an online betting brand based in Venice Beach, California. Great sleep starts with your sheets, and Parachute has created a line of everyday bedding essentials from sheets to comforters to give you superior sleep. Parachute's website is straightforward and easy to use. Simply select the bedding items you want, your preferred fabric and color, and then get them delivered directly to your front door. It's easy. With free shipping, free returns, and a 30-night risk-free guarantee, they take your comfort seriously so you can rest easily. Parachute also gives safe sleep. They partnered with the United Nations Nothing But Nets to deliver life-saving malaria prevention bed nets to those in need. So shop online at parachute.com/ride and receive $25 off your first order by using the promo code RIDE. So that's $25 at checkout to start sleeping better today.